Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the FirstGroup pre-close update for the 6 months ended 30th of September 2012. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Tuesday the 2nd of October 2012. I would now like to hand the conference over to your speaker today, Chris Search, Group Finance Director. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks, Adam. Good morning, everybody. I'm just going to spend a few minutes pulling out the highlights from the statement that we put out this morning before opening it to questions. So overall, first 6 months, we are on track. Clearly, this is a period of transition for the group, but having spent now just about a month here, I'm very pleased to see that the actions are actually being implemented around the group. Just like many companies, overall confident in those actions, but cautious on the economic outlook, particularly in the US, given the upcoming elections. I'll now go through each of the divisions. As you will have seen from the trading statement last year, included an extra week, so all the numbers I quote are on a like-for-like basis. So first of all, student, as you know, we're in the process of implementing a new operating model and ensuring that that is embedded within the business, and that process is going well. You will have also seen that the retention rate is a little bit above 90%, which is pleasing. What is also pleasing is that we've seen, albeit small, but some organic growth within that business for the first time in about 3 years. Overall, like-for-like sales down 3.8%, which is exactly in line with our expectations. And for the full year, we'd expect it to be down around 2% on a like-for-like basis. And we've reiterated that we expect to achieve an overall margin ahead of that achieved in the year ending March 2011. In transit, very much a steady business, and again with growth of 3%, good retention rates, well above 90%, and a strong pipeline of new business. In Greyhound, again, we're pushing ahead with the modernization program, but we have been impacted by the weaker economic environment and relatively low fuel costs, which has impacted the top line. But again, many of you will know that over the last couple of years, a more flexible operating model has been implemented, and that has allowed us to adjust the cost base to reflect that more difficult economic conditions. The way I would position Greyhound is I think that there was a potential there to outperform. That potential has reduced a little bit, given the economic conditions. I should also say that the express model is performing well, and we've continued to see good growth in that part of the business. In UK bus, again, as you know, we're going through a major change program. It's still early days, but again, as I've been out and about, seeing the commitment and the strong feeling of change that's coming through in all levels of the business is pleasing. And we expect to deliver on that change program. Overall growth rates of 2.5% in the period, and again, we reconfirm that we expect to hit a margin of 8% for this year. In rail, clearly dominated by all the commentary on the West Coast. All I'll say on that is that we have every confidence in the DfT process, and we're mobilizing and getting ready for the launch on the 9th of December. There's probably not a lot more I can actually say on that. Away from that, the rest of the business is performing well with, again, good growth at 8%, and we continue to bid and go through the process on the other TOCs that we've been shortlisted for. So overall, outlook is on track, but cautious about underlying economics, and for that reason, we reaffirm the dividend policy that's been previously stated. I'll now open it to questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel that request, it's the hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Mark Manduca from Bank of America. Please ask your question.
Hey, morning, Chris. Thanks for your question. Thanks for taking the question, and thanks for your time earlier this morning. Obviously, the trading statement focused on earnings. If I could just ask a couple of questions in regards to cash. So I guess first question in regards to the free cash flow argument. Last time since the Q1 statement, obviously cash flow neutrality was reinstated, if I'm right. To what degree has that changed in light of West Coast? So specifically, you know, the stuff that we spoke about this morning, the 50 to 60 million working capital inflow and any operating profit that comes from West Coast, what does that mean for free cash flow post-dividends? And then on the dividend policy, as a second question, where exactly are we with disposals in your mind from your initial assessment of the business? To what extent do you, on your initial assessment, think that it's a prudent strategy in terms of the 100 million? Do you think there's upside, downside risk to the target? Are you seeing any potential interest from buyers at this stage? And then linking that into the dividend specifically, do you think that there's legs for this to be a multi-year asset disposal program to fund the dividend, or is it just a one-year event?
Right, Mark, thank you very much. I'm not sure that was two questions, probably a few more, but let me see if I forget any of those. I'm sure you'll remind me. On free cash flow or over cash flow to start off with, yes, we've guided previously that it will be broadly neutral, including around 100 million for disposals. So the way I would look at that is broadly neutral could be slightly positive, slightly negative, including those disposals. And then with West Coast, that would bring in about 50 million, as you say, for working capital. And again, I think we've guided about 10 million with the operating profit that comes from that business. So overall, I would say, assuming the disposal program happens, then we will be in positive territory, again, probably in the range of 40-odd million or so, depending on where we go. So hopefully that covers that one. And then in terms of dividends and disposals, I would look at those as two separate issues. First of all, on dividends, and your question as to whether that's a prudent policy, to me, the key is having clarity on a dividend policy. And I think where the board is set out clearly before my time is absolutely clear with the policy for this year. Then, as you know, we have a plan to win more franchises and also improve the two bus businesses. And I think by the time we get to the next stage in May of thinking about dividend policy for the future, we'll have a better position on those, and then we can guide on that in the future. I think the key to me, though, is dividend policy in part reflects views of the future. It also reflects, well, what is the current cash position and balance sheet of the business at the moment? And I think the overall business, yes, leverage is relatively high, but we're in a good position. We have lots of liquidity. We have plenty of funds to actually do what we want to do in terms of turning the business around. And we're taking actions to strengthen the cash flow in the future through the franchises and turning the business around. And from what I've said this morning, both of those are on track. Then in terms of the disposal program, we're in a number of discussions with a number of people. So yes, there is interest, to answer your question, on the various disposals. In my previous lives, I've been very much involved in M&A, and the one thing that I've learned is to be cautious on exact timing. And clearly, you also understand we don't want to be backed into a corner with giving specific dates on specific deals. So the way I would categorize the disposal program is confident that we will get to achieving our program, but in terms of exact timing, won't be pulled on that. So it will be when it will be, and if that goes into a future, it goes into a future year. The key is confident that we will achieve it.
Understood, Chris. Just a follow-up question in regards to your comments on free cash flow generation. Mm-hmm. Specifically, you were saying that the guidance range is around 30 to 40 million of free cash flow generation if you assume. Does that actually assume the 100 million of disposals, though, just for my maths? And what CapEx number does that assume?
Yeah, if you assume the 100 million of disposals all happens and all the cash comes in this year, that gets you to around 30 to 40 million. Assuming that we start off with slightly negative on the balance view, if we start off with slightly positive,
yeah,
then it gets to a number that's a little bit higher than that.
Understood. And then if you strip out West Coast, you get to roughly minus 20 is basically the maths of it.
Yeah. I mean, when we say broadly neutral, that could mean, and you said minus 20, which is what we talked about this morning, it could be minus 20, it could be plus 10 as a start. I mean, that's what, in my mind, broadly neutral means.
Very clear. Thank you very much, Chris.
Your next question comes from the line of Edward Stanford from Oriel Securities. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Two questions, please, if I could. One, could you perhaps provide a little bit more colour on what's happening in the UK bus business in the north of England and Scotland, which seems to be doing quite well and now after some difficult times? And secondly, just trying my luck a little bit on Virgin, is there anything in the mobilisation process that you are unable to do that you expected to do? And are there any mobilisation costs that we need to think about in our thoughts on rail? Thank you.
Thanks, Edward. First of all, yeah, the overall we said that growth will be 2.5% across the UK bus business, and that splits into 2.7% in the north and 2.1% in the south. And you're absolutely right. North is a little bit stronger than we've seen. South is a little bit weaker. The south, let me just cover that one off, is basically due to lower volumes on concessionary fares, which again I think is what the various players in the market have seen. In the north, it is stronger. I would love to say that's due to the turnaround program. I think it's a bit early to say that. I think it's just underlying volumes are stronger. Obviously, as we continue to turn the business around, that will build further strength in volumes in the future. But at this stage, I think it's just underlying market metrics. In terms of mobilization of West Coast, no, there is nothing that we're being prevented from doing at the moment, working obviously closely with the DfT. In terms of mobilization costs, again, because we're doing what we expected, those will be in line with what we expected, and they're just covered under the normal compensation under the normal models. So it's just business as usual as far as we're concerned.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Alex Brignall of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning. Thank you very much for taking the questions. Just two, please. If I could start just with regards to your Greyhound comments, if you could just maybe just qualify, give some more granularity with regards to what you're talking about in terms of outperformance and now maybe more in-line performance. And then just with regards to, back to the bus, I suppose, I'm afraid, but when we previously spoke at the last results, there was guidance that into the year following 2014, we'll see the margin recovery, assuming those disposals. Could you just talk through the impact on the margin the following year, should those disposals not be done? I think we talked about 10% in 2014, if I remember correctly. Thank you very much.
Okay. Yeah. First of all, thanks, Alex. On Greyhound, we saw a very good first quarter, and that was leading us to believe that with an overall growth of 2.8%, and our belief was if that continued, then we could outperform general expectations. But we were cautious at the time. Clearly, I wasn't here, so I'm speaking for the rest of the guys, because obviously concerns over what could happen on the U.S. economy. And therefore, that has proved right. What's happened in the second quarter is lower growth. And again, I've been asked, well, what does that mean in terms of legacy business and in terms of the express business? The express business continues to do well, overall revenue growth of around 6%. And the legacy business in the second quarter is still growing, but only by a relatively small amount. But the key issue, as I said, when I was talking to start off with, is because we now have this flexible approach, we've been able to alter the cost base and therefore mitigate those revenue impacts. In terms of the bus business, yes, you're absolutely right that as a function of selling the businesses that are not performing so well and therefore lower margin, that the bus margin will naturally increase. And over time, yes, we would expect that to get up to double digit over time.
Okay, thank you very much.
Your next question comes from the line of Damian Brewer of RBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thanks for taking the question. Three short ones on UK bus, then a couple of other hopefully short ones. UK bus, could you give us an idea of what you did with mileage outside London in the first half of the year? And then on the back of that, how much of your non-London bus business is now concessionary fare? And on the non-concessionary commercial fare basis, how much did the commercial revenue base grow by, and what was that in terms of revenue and or volume? Then the other quick two questions. Greyhound, it looks like you did 0.6% revenue growth in Q2. How much of that was volume versus price? Was it a volume problem, or was there a pricing challenge within the market? And then very finally, a more general question. Obviously, after the last 2 years, the key concern is what happens in terms of the March trading update. In your first month at First Group, is there anything about the way the budgeting process rolls forward that you could think could be done better to give us maybe better early warning signals of changes in the development of the business rather than risking repeating a third year of that in March?
Okay, let's start with UK bus. Overall mileage in the north was, was flat.
Fairly flat. Yeah,
fairly flat. I think your second question was on commercial.
Versus concession.
Yeah, commercial revenue, overall for the group, overall commercial revenue growing slightly above concessionary revenue. Up to 2.5, it's slightly skewed towards commercial revenue.
Okay, so the concession revenue is still growing?
Yeah, still above 2%, yeah. So there's not a lot of difference, but slightly skewed towards commercial.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then your Greyhound question, that I got a little bit higher than 0.6, but still below 1. And I think I'm being told that we don't normally give out the split between price and volume.
No, we tend to look at it because it's so many different journeys, it's quite hard to actually determine that between the different journey lengths, so it can be a bit misleading.
Okay, but just it makes a big difference in terms of your marginal return if you get one extra seat or...
Well, predominantly volumes are up, generally. Volumes are up, but certainly in the express markets where, we're doing the classic yield margin activities where we're driving up volumes to subsequently build up the yields later. So overall, it's more volume than price.
Okay, and was that true across the country or were there regional differences in that?
No, that's fairly true across the patch.
Okay, and then just finally, is there anything you think you can do in terms of refining the budgeting process so we've got more a clearer confidence in the numbers as they develop through the year?
Yes, is the short answer. In terms of, it has only been a month, so it is fairly early days. I think overall, I would say no surprises there. I think I had eight different interviews, actually, in the lead-up to me starting, and I was very well briefed. So the underlying businesses I still see as fundamentally strong, clearly an awful lot to do in terms of transition, which opens you up, obviously, to changing models and so on that I've talked about, and therefore you're absolutely right. Trying to get the information, as you call it, budgeting processes right, to make sure that we don't get surprises is absolutely key. So on that, what I found is there's certainly an awful lot of information that comes out, and the processes that are there, all the ones I would expect to be there, are there, and the people who are actually working on it are extremely committed. So the base is good. I think my initial feelings are that because, and this is probably natural, because the business is going through and has been through a significant period of change, what's happened is layers have built up. So as finance directors have changed, or we've gone through change processes, more and more is being layered on to what is done on a daily basis. And therefore, the question that's in my mind is actually, and this may sound a little weird, but I've certainly used it in the past and it's worked well, is to actually work out, well, what do we stop doing? Because some of the things that have been asked in the past are no longer necessary. And if we can actually stop doing some of these things, then it allows us to focus more on what's going to happen in the future and get those forecasting processes right. So that would be one of the underlying themes. The next one is, and again, I think this is probably not new news, but again, because of the change processes, the IT systems have built up over time. They're not consistent across the various parts of the business, and certainly in areas they lack sophistication. So again, we need to improve the IT systems, but again, I've done major IT programs before, and we have to do this over the right period and in an orderly fashion. So certainly that's another area that we'll be looking at. The third area is what I call KMIs, KPIs, and KRIs. And again, people talk about KPIs, key performance indicators, and more often than not, what we're actually talking about is results indicators, i.e. after the event. What I'm more interested in is key market indicators, i.e. what's coming along the track, if you excuse the pun in this business. And so we can then react. We can make sure our forecasts are right. And more importantly, we can make sure that we take the actions to offset it. So that process has actually started. And I was talking to Tim and the rest of the board before I joined, but again, I think there's more area that we can move on that. And then I think the final area, and I don't want to talk about technical jargon, but it's implementing a full potential process rather than a budgeting process. And I won't go into the technical detail of that other than to say, for those who know Smith's Group, where I've worked previously, and the turnaround in the John Crane business, that was all done by the implementation of a full potential process, and that's what we'll be implementing here at First over a period of time. So I start from the fact that it's not broken, but I think there are areas where we can make significant improvements.
Okay. Thank you, Chris. Sounds like you've got a busy time ahead. Thanks.
Yeah, but an exciting one.
Your next question comes from Joseph Thomas of HSBC. Please go ahead.
Morning, Joe Thomas here at HSBC. A couple of questions on school buses, if I may please, and then just one on the UK bus business. Your comments on school buses were quite positive, Chris, when you talked about some organic growth. Can you just give a little bit more colour on that, perhaps quantify it and indicate where it is coming from? Is that charter business? And also, can you then give us some indication about underlying cost inflation? I see that the Teamsters have been quite noisy again recently. And then just turning my attention to UK Bus, West Yorkshire seems to be quite well advanced in terms of quality contracts now. Is there any update you can give us there? And how are you intending to stave off the potential consequences?
Okay, student first. I did say when I was talking I wouldn't get too carried away with it, but it was just that the trend had changed. So, and it's come from not from the charter business. It's come from the fact that on individual districts and so on, in previous years we've lost a number of routes, whereas this year we picked up around 200 buses on that there. So it's as a percentage numbers, it's not a big change. But as I say, the trend being different is positive, and certainly the guys in the business see that there's hopefully early signs of the economy recovering. But again, I do emphasise, let's not get carried away at the moment.
Sorry, can I just clarify what you mean by this, picking up individual routes within existing contracts?
So it's additional routes added to existing contracts.
So this reflects what, population growth, or reflects changes to maximum walking distances, or is it?
It can reflect a number of things, but typically it might be to get, if a route has become too long, for example, if it's taking too long to get round, they might split it into two. And I think the point that Chris is making is over the last 3 years, we've seen a trend of that reducing as they've looked to get more out of one run, and now we're seeing a little bit being added back in. Which is
okay.
Something that was always a feature of the industry over the last 10 or so years that we've been there.
Okay, I think your next question was on cost inflation, which is around 2%, and then linking in with the Teamsters. Our relationship with the Teamsters, which is the biggest union for us, is very, very good. And I think what they've seen is the implementation of the new, what we call the new student way of working, and the fact that it makes a good difference to them, and they like the way that we're actually now communicating with everybody and so on, is actually having very positive results. So, no, the relationship, touch wood, is good with the Teamsters, and hopefully it will continue for a long time. So certainly don't see an issue there. In terms of UK Bus and West Yorkshire and the quality contracts, yes, they've raised that. Our view is the better way of working is obviously on a partnership basis. And certainly when you look at other areas like Sheffield and so on, and they've seen that working well, we believe that over time we can persuade the various authorities that that's the best way to go. But clearly it's obviously early stages.
Okay,
and I have to say, what they're talking about is several years out anyway, so this is something that needs to be dealt with over time, because they're talking 2015 at the earliest.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Peter Hyde of Liberum Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Could I just ask two or three questions? Firstly, in terms of Greyhound, could you just spit out how much is Express at the moment and how much is Legacy? And I don't know how precise you're willing to be, but try and give us a bit of a kind of feeling of margin differences between the two businesses. So that's question number one. Question number two is that I'm interested, I think you've got to refinance a £300 million bond, and I'm wondering what the timing is of that. And then finally, I just wondered if you could talk a bit more about this bus disposal program and the process you're going through, because I've sort of heard that you're doing the disposals in blocks, and I'm sort of under the impression that block one hasn't finished. Is that the right way to think about it, or are you doing it in a slightly different way? Thanks.
Thanks, Peter. So Greyhound first. And the split of the business, it does depend how you measure it and over what period, because it does vary in the summer months to the winter months and so on. But the broad estimation I would use is around 20% of the business is Greyhound Express. In terms of margin, that is extremely difficult. Because we are in a growth phase. So basically you go into the individual regions, you build market share, and then you obviously build the profitability over time. So it's not that I don't want to give information. It's more that if I did, I think I'd tie up this call for the next 2 hours, because it varies by individual contracts. So. In terms of the refinancing, yes, you're absolutely right. £300 million bond due in the first part of 2013. We're in the process, as you would expect, of preparing for that. Very much like the UK Bus Disposal Programme, I'm not going to be called or backed into a corner on specific timing, but my view on these has always been to do them at a relatively early stage and to make sure everything runs smoothly. So we will do that in due course. Well, the one thing I should point out is that we have very, very significant headroom on our liquidity. So again, we can do that at the right time and in due course. Then in terms
but because that's a bit of a kind of, on the one hand, on the other hand, all I was really interested in really was whether you as a group are focusing on it heavily at the moment.
We're preparing for it, yeah. As we prepare for all of our refinancing.
Okay, yeah.
In terms of the disposals, yes, you're right, we are doing it in tranches, and that's when I talked about at each, we're at various stages in various blocks, as you call them, in various blocks. And again, the way we look at this is that one of the reasons we're selling these businesses or potentially selling them is that we think that there is a better value to a different owner. And therefore, as we put together the various blocks, it's with that in mind. And that's the process we're going through.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from Jamie Rowbotham of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Morning all. Three questions. The first couple are a bit following on from Damien's line of questions. I was interested in some of the answers there. Chris, in particular, you mentioned the IT systems and when you were giving some of your background on your first look at the group. Again, I'm conscious that it's early days, but is there a sense, do you think, in which some cost perhaps has to go back in at First Group on things like IT systems, and in terms of, you know, in order to execute a bit of a business turnaround, and in terms of if the answer is yes, and in terms of funding putting some cost back in, if cash takes a while to come through from bus disposals, then, you know, earlier you mentioned having comfortable liquidity to fund turnaround investments. Presumably, that might need to involve drawing down on the undrawn credit facility that you just referred to. Perhaps you could explain whether that's a fair assessment. Secondly, again, coming back to this point around guidance and visibility, I just wondered specifically in school bus, how easy is it to have visibility on the operating profit margin in school bus for the 2012-13 school year, especially after, you know, just a month of that school year? What are the upside and downside risks to that margin, do you think? And finally, completely separately, just going to UK Rail, assuming West Coast starts on time, are there any concerns within the group that the UK GDP outlook is already quite a bit weaker now than would have been the case at the time of bidding? Thanks.
Okay, Jamie, thanks very much. I'm just scribbling away there. Yeah, on the IT systems, then the group has known for some time that we need to improve the IT systems. So there is, in budgets and longer-term plans, numbers already put aside. So in terms of guidance previously, in terms of CapEx costs and the required funding of that, it is early days for me, but I'm not sitting here saying there's going to be just a massive increase in IT costs that's not already envisaged in some form.
Mm-hmm.
The key is to execute it, to pick the right priorities, to execute it, but execute it in an orderly way, and to make sure it's joined up. And there's a mixture of making sure that the, what I would call the base systems, the back office systems is probably a better phrase, are in place, but also making sure that the technology investments are there. And again, on some of those on ticketing and so on that we're pushing ahead with anyway. And it's making sure that we get that right balance on a joined-up basis. And again, I think if things have happened perhaps in a slightly different way in the past, it's that lack of joined-up nature. So I think it's more that we have a good IT director and he and I are working with the individual divisions to come up with that plan to make sure it works. But I do emphasize, fortunately for me, I've been involved in three big IT projects, and they've all actually gone well. But I have seen ones that have gone badly wrong, so order and planning are absolutely key to me. So I'm not indicating that you should be changing your cash flow forecast, et cetera, mm-hmm. for IT. In terms of school bus, in terms of the key things, the key period for us is the retention period and making sure that we've got the contracts. And we planned on getting around 90% retention, which I think we told the market previously, and we got that slightly above. So that's one of the key risks, which is beside and now behind us. The second area is then the startup process, and that has gone well this year. Still relatively early days, but normally by this stage in early October, you've got a good indication, so that's gone well. Then there is the potential to win or lose individual routes, as we talked about before, but the early indications are we've won some. Maybe we pick up some more. I would see that on the upside, but again, probably not significant. But as I mentioned in my words to start off with, we're also in the middle of the change program. We are confident that will deliver, but clearly it's... with the numbers in the second half compared with the first half, it's obviously a relatively big number, but confident we'll get there. Clearly, if something goes wrong on that, then that's a risk, but at the moment we don't expect it to be.
Okay.
West Coast GDP, I think we said, Jamie, that we obviously the March 2012 OBR numbers were used as a sort of base in the bid, but actually I think we said at the time we'd taken account of a number of different scenarios in our sensitivity analysis. So no change there.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from John Lawson of Investec. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, Chris, and welcome, and Rachel, and everyone else who's listening, Nick, etc. Just, I've got three questions, really. One, coming back to students, can you just remind us exactly where we are on the sort of the gross and net buses added? I know, obviously, the last update we had the numbers there, but some of there can be some changes. And related to that, within the like for like of minus 3.8. Could you just, when you talk about organic growth just now, I just wondered whether you could say, just give a little bit more detail around what's in that 3.8 decline and the relevant percentages. That's point one. Point two, just on the, can you give us any idea on the net debt position at the closing of the period just ended? And point three, just on rail, can you give us an update on the bid costs year to date and remind us what your forecast is for the full year? And perhaps related to that, can you give us any idea of timing when there's judicial review? I know it's outside your control, but what is your view on that?
Okay, thanks, Sean. Right. So overall, in terms of buses, the net position is around 700 less buses than before the bidding season. On a like-for-like basis, the 3.8%, I'm not sure whether this is answering your question, John, but the key driver behind that is the pre-recession contracts that have impacted the business, as you all know, over the last couple of years. Because they're on a 3 to 5 year basis, those are effectively rolling off. And this is the last period, or this year will be the last year where we've got that direct impact. So that's really what's driving the overall changes. And the other thing that is probably worthwhile mentioning is, as again many of you will know, in this business you also acquire buses through acquisition. What we've been focused on, and I talked around when I was answering Jamie's question, about the focus on the bus and the turnaround program. We're focused on that and less focused on acquisitions at the moment. We want to basically turn the business round first and then push harder on acquisitions as we take it forward. So those are the key drivers behind that. In terms of net debt, it's you'd expect in, I think you've seen this previously, the cash is generally weaker in the first half than the second half, principally because the business is biased. There have also been a number of working capital movements specifically this year, so a number of particular rail payments that have gone out. So, and also we've been investing in the Olympics. We bought the buses, obviously, for that, so that you'll have a first half loading on UK bus capex. So overall, net debt will be around the $2.1 billion at the end of the period, which is broadly an EBITDA ratio of about 2.9. But again, you'd expect that naturally to improve in the second half. In terms of bid costs, year to date is around the $12 million, and we would expect the full year to be around the $20 million, probably slightly above the $20 million mark. I think guidance has been a little bit less than that previously. I think it was around $18 million. Nick's nodding. The reason it's higher is basically levels of activity. As you know, we pre-qualified on the four contracts, and we're now well into that bidding process. In terms of the judicial review, I think it's public knowledge that that's up in the middle of October is when that's coming before the courts.
Okay, fine. Just one point of clarity. Coming back to the minus 3.8, and you referred a little bit to organic growth. Could that sort of, does that move the dial at all? In other words, is it minus 3.9 net or gross rather? And I'm just trying to get a flavour.
No, it doesn't. I don't think it would even take it from 3.8 to 3.9.
Okay, fine. Righto. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Your next question comes from Anand Date from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Hi, morning everyone. Just three questions. Just from Peter's point on the bond refinancing, do you think there's any risk that you see a harder stance from your bankers or a potential change to your covenants? Just any thoughts on that would be interesting. And then on rail, is there... Do you see a ceiling to the level of risk appetite you'd be willing to take on? By that I mean, if you won or if you retained Great Western, does that almost preclude you from an East Coast or something on that, something like that? And then just a bit further on rail, is there any scope for almost a ring fencing of rail? Is part of your bidding that it's backed by the first group entirety, or is there a way that you can kind of seclude UK Rail as a division from the rest of first group? Thanks.
Thanks. In terms of refinancing, simple answer is no. We do not see any hardening of stance. Certainly, all the people I've spoken to are very supportive. What we are very, very clear on is our commitment to maintaining investment grade status and very, very strong on that. So, and I think you specifically asked about covenants. No, I wouldn't expect those to change at all. And again, you come back to, yes, the leverage is relatively high, but it has been coming down over the last few years. Yes, it's stabilized a little bit at the moment, but that's because we're in an investment phase of turning around the businesses in transition. And then over time, as we win the rail franchises and turn around the businesses again, the cash flow will strengthen. So no, I don't detect any of that at all. And all of our core banks have been very, very supportive over many years. So that's our position on that. In terms of rail, I think the answer is yes, clearly we have to be minded to the overall risk appetite, and we wouldn't expect to go out and win every one of the new franchises that are coming up over the next 3-4 years. What we look at is the overall risk profile of the individual franchises, and we are building a portfolio that will be a mixture of the different types of rail travel and so on, and that's the main driver in choosing how we bid, together with obviously the overall appetite, but it's in that order. In terms of ring fencing,
no bidders, special purpose vehicles.
Yeah, so they are special purpose vehicles, so they are effectively ring fenced anyway.
The group's liability is capped out at the performance bonds and the guarantees, so it's not an open ended backing.
So maybe I've misunderstood your question, but.
No, that seems relatively fine. So I guess just for my clarity, it would be the case that, you know, if there was a default, it's the contingent capital, and you wouldn't. Well,
absolutely, yeah. Good. We are capped out, as Nick put it, at the contingent capital.
Yeah.
There's no further than calls upon the group, so they are effectively ring fenced. Okay, if that's what you're getting at, Anna, then yes, that's absolutely right.
And then I guess, sorry, if I can just ask one more. I guess the debate is on the potential for cross-default, and I'm not saying you're going to default, but the potential. If that were to happen, do you think there's, within the contracts, the DfT would have the right to take the contingent capital on all of the franchises, if that were enforced, which is a big if?
No, they can't.
Okay, thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. Your next question comes from Gerald Koo of Espirito Santo. Please go ahead.
Morning, all. A couple of quick questions on UK bus. Firstly, in terms of the revenue growth, could you give an indication of where you are in terms of the split between volume and fares? And secondly, on the disposal programme, you talked about tranches of disposals. Can you clarify whether that's just you're doing a batch at a time or whether you're selling multiple businesses as packages?
Okay, let me take the second one first. It is batches. We're just doing them in batches. In terms of Nick, maybe.
Volumes are still slightly negative at the moment, so we're probably between -1 and 0 on volumes at the moment on bus passenger revenue.
Okay, thanks.
Okay.
Any further questions?
Your next question comes from Ankit Gupta of Amber. Please go ahead.
Hello, Ankit.
Yeah, hi. I need some clarity on the how much amount are you going to raise from your asset disposal program?
We've previously said that it would be around, this is UK Bus, around £100 million.
Thanks for that. And another thing is that if you can just give me some numbers with regard to how much payment are you making for this West Coast franchise?
I think we've already covered quite a lot of detail on the West Coast in previous calls. What exactly do you mean? How much we're paying?
Yeah, how much? How many? How much of capex investments are like?
The absolute level of capex is very low on the West Coast franchise because most items are included through the bid line and therefore are included in the premium payment. So I think we've guided about $30 million of capex over the first 5 years, I think. So it's very low.
Okay. Thanks for that.
You have a further question from Anand Date of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi guys. Sorry, just one more. On UK Bus, we've been hearing that there's almost a change to the structure of management in the business, in that it's becoming more or slightly more focused on regional management. Is that something that you're pushing through, and what progress has been made? Thanks.
Absolutely. I think if you go to the heart of the UK Bus turnaround, it's turning what should be a local business into exactly that, because it's been over time more centrally managed, which is extremely difficult to do, because you really need to understand what's happening on particular routes, on particular customer requirements, and so on in the local regions. So when Giles Fenley was brought on board, he's then built out his management team, and we have a new ops director who's come on board over the last 6 months or so. And then he has put in place a new regional management team, new in a sense of structure. He's been taking some of the existing management, and they're building out the local management teams and developing that. And that's why I say this is obviously at a early stage, because that process clearly takes time. And then those local management are putting in place new procedures. I think the Americans call it playbooks, as to how we run the business. So they've got a base structure on how we improve efficiency and so on, and also how we improve the customer-facing aspects of our business, but together with their knowledge of the local market, and that will lead to a turnaround in the business. And that's what we're starting to see, as we mentioned in the statement, some signs of that in some of our markets, which gives us confidence that over time that we will get to where we want to be.
Okay, lovely, thanks.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one. You have no further questions. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, very much. And for those of you I've not met, and I look forward to meeting you in due course. Thank you very much.
That does conclude the conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may disconnect.